Good morning, church, and thank you for joining us this morning. Today, we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. It goes like this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to God, to the glory and praise of God. I want to encourage you today that God is at work in every stage of our lives and will bring all things to completion in the end. This season of Advent finds us waiting for the unknowable adventure of a life uninhibited by our earthly limitations. Like a young adult waiting to launch, we can rest in the safety of our current home while looking forward to our beautiful future. Paul is writing to the Philippians from prison, but he is not discouraged. He is thankful for those believers in Philippi and for the ways they have partnered with him when he was there in person and since he had left, and we see that in verses 1 to 4. He has watched them mature in the Lord from the early days of Lydia's home until now, and he has also seen the good work God has done in them and knows that God will continue to work through them, as it shows in verse 5 and 6. Now, Paul seems to have a soft spot for the Philippians, and we see that in verses 7 to 11. He prays that their love and knowledge of God and their discernment of the things of God will grow until the day that Christ returns. Matthew Henry writes this, "The work of grace is begun in this life. It is not finished here. As long as we are in this imperfect state, there is something more to be done. If the same God who begins the good work did not undertake the carrying on and finishing of it, it would lie forever unfinished. He must perform it who began it. We may be confident or well persuaded that God not only will not forsake, but that he will finish and crown the work of his own hands, for as for God, his work is perfect." You see, Advent marks the beginning of the liturgical or church calendar year. It is the start of something new, and as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we are reminded that he ushered in the new covenant, one that would give us freedom and restore our relationship with God. No longer would we be defined by our adherence to the Old Testament law, but now we are defined by Christ who is in us. This is why Paul had such great joy and hopefulness for the Philippians, even in the midst of persecution. Do you remember the day that you moved out of your family home as an adult? Now we all have a story to tell about the day that we left home. And whatever the reason for our departure, whether it was marriage or work or college or a job from our parents' house, whatever the reason is, most of us were more than ready to go. The big wide world awaited for us, and we couldn't wait to get out from under these suffocating rules of our parents, or so we thought they were. Now, Advent is similar to that feeling. It's a feeling like we are ready to launch. But you know what? We still have to wait, and that's the whole point of Advent. It is my belief that the reason we feel an angst in this season right now is because it reminds us that although we are purchased and perfect in the eyes of God, we still must journey through life without being made holistically perfect just yet. And we struggle with that. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 says that our soul groans as we long to be perfected or made pure. But there are still voids and holes in our being that won't be filled until we see Jesus return. And it is in that recognition of these internal gaps or these internal struggles that we have that we feel the need for the completion of what Jesus started. Now, this is like an unrest. So this is the unrest that we struggle with, throughout our Christian journey. No matter where we are, no matter how long we've been a Christian, we struggle with this in our Christian journey. This is the one I'm talking about here. We struggle to find meaning, whether we're Christian or non-Christian. The reason for this struggle, though, is that because we are in this in-between state, and we've talked about this in previous messages, sitting in between those times of what has happened in the past and what is going to happen. And so I believe that Advent makes this feeling just that much more real, especially in our society. Now, our waiting, our Advent waiting, then, is not only a reflection of the Lord's first coming, but it is the end times expectancy of Jesus coming again. Now, when young people are moving out of the house and heading off to college or pursuing a career, we want to give them all of our great wisdom and encouragement. We want to help them make history, and we want to help them change the world. Now, Paul knew this thousands of years ago. He knew that true accomplishment and true success are found through the working of Jesus in and through us. And there's no doubt that that's true. Advent reminds us that God came to earth. Now, there's no other way around this. His movement, his purpose, his promise, and his promise fulfilled. And it was God's work, not ours. And we could not accomplish this, and we cannot accomplish this with all of our learning, all of our academia, all of our achievements. We can't do it. Only God can do it. In a world of profound darkness and distress, with sin, with evil, we look to the one and the true light, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm going to step out of my musical expertise here, but back in 2018 in Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, Beyoncé sang this song, and it was called Let Every Voice Sing. Many had never heard this song before, but it's actually a hymn that is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. Now, you might have heard this lately in the press and news that's one of the national anthems that they'll be singing down in the States. Now, this song encompasses an enduring hope that transcends all difficulties. And there's a professor, Shauna Redman, who has a PhD in music history. And she says that this song has important meaning as Black communities across the globe continue to be vulnerable in very unique and unsettling ways. To sing this song is to revive that past, but also to recognize, as the lyrics of the song reveal, that there is a hopeful future that might come of it. Now, Advent reminds us of the past, but it also reminds us that some of our best moments, the best moments of our life, haven't even happened yet. And Advent shows us that there remains an untapped potential in our world to see God's redemptive work to continue to move forward. Now, launching into any great new adventure means putting God's plans before our own, even in the waiting. And this is where we struggle. You see, in a world that continues to put their own selfish desires before others, in many different circumstances, we continue to struggle with this me first or this what about my rights perspective. We struggle with this. We see it everywhere. It's in ads. It's in the news. It's in movies. It's always about what are my rights. The gospel couldn't be any further from this me first mentality. The scriptures and the sacrifice of God the Father, sending his only son, knowing what would have to be done to save humanity, is the most incredible sacrifice and gift that mankind can ever know, has ever known, and has ever seen. Plus, the example of the self-sacrifice of Jesus himself going along with this great commandment mindset is love God and love your neighbor. Jesus proved it. He showed it with his life. And so the example has been set. So every time you please your needs before others, you are doing the exact opposite of what the example of was given by Jesus. And so don't shoot me, don't shoot the messenger, but that's the message all throughout Scripture is sacrifice. So I have a few questions for you. How do you see the sacrifice of God the Father? How do you see what he did for us, sending his son? And knowing that God is aware of all that what will happen and why it needs to happen, would you be willing to sacrifice that much? We have a hard enough time allowing others to step in front of us at the lineup at the grocery store or butt in front of us in the drive-thru. How are we going to sacrifice moving forward? And so I ask you, how are you going to sacrifice moving forward? Now, I'm not saying that you're to give up your firstborn, but ask yourself this question: in what areas of your life and of my life are we being selfish? Think about the person you want to be. What does that look like to you? What does that person look like to you? Is it to be more like Jesus or to be like someone else? And if so, if it's to be like Jesus, then let's get that journey started. How is that going to happen? Well, how can we be more like Jesus? Well, it starts with taking one step forward, putting one step in front of the other, and then another one, and another one, and so on, and so on. And the more we move forward to be like him, the more we get into our scripture, the more we will learn what he's like. But it starts with baby steps. It starts with baby steps becoming more like Jesus. Start by asking Jesus into your heart and in your life today, and then move forward from there, taking it minute by minute and taking it day by day, all the decisions minute by minute, day by day, to be more like him. Now, if you want to be if you want Jesus to be a part of your life, or if you need to rededicate your life because maybe you've slipped up and you haven't been really following him, if you want to rededicate your life or you want Jesus into your heart, why don't you pray with me right now? Let's pray. Father, for those right now that need a touch from you, that have been searching for you and have just found you, we ask that you will speak to them. Come into their heart right now, wherever they are, in their living room, at work, wherever they are right now. We just pray that you will come into their heart and show them how real you are. Thank you that you sacrificed your son Jesus to die on the cross and then rise again so that we could have eternal life. And so into our hearts, we allow Jesus in. Thank you, Lord, for that. And for those that are struggling, that want to rededicate their life this morning to you, maybe they slipped away, we just ask that you will show yourself to them, make yourself real, bring people alongside them to help disciple them along the way. And so as we move forward, let us take baby steps to turning to you and living a life that is worthy to be called a Christian. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've accepted the Lord for the first time this morning, I want you to tell somebody. Tell somebody so they can encourage you and get involved in a church. You can talk to us here as well, or wherever you are, you can contact a local church, a good Bible-believing church. Please make sure you do that, but we can definitely help you in that area. If you've rededicated your life, there are many things that you can do. Again, get involved in a local church. Talk to them about how you can grow. Get into a small group, into a discipleship program, and they will help you learn more. So I want to encourage you and thank you for watching us this morning. We have an Advent challenge for you right now. So our Advent challenge for you today is that you will pray that the message of Jesus Christ will be spread and shared throughout this Christmas season and beyond. And then our practical challenge is that you would invite someone to the Christmas Eve service this Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. at westwinds.online.church. So there's all sorts of information you can get online. Make sure you pass that on and invite someone to watch with you this Christmas Eve as we sing carols and as we read scriptures and as we share the message of Jesus this season, because you know what? We all need it this season. We all need a great message, and the message of Jesus Christ is the one that will change people's lives forever. So, God bless you. Thanks for being here, and you know what? I hope you have a great Christmas, and we will see you on Christmas Eve. God bless you.